Hey, good morning, friends. Good to see you. Thanks for joining us today. Sorry about that. I had to get our Zoom friends online today who are joining us. We have the McDaniels and the Edmonds over here, and they're always to my left, and you all are always straight in front of me. And no matter where you're meeting or how you're meeting with us today, I am so glad that you're here. My name is Steve Sargent, and I'm the minister of this congregation known as Southwest Central Church of Christ. And as always, I am so honored to be here with you during this time and in this space. So thanks to you for joining, as always. I think this is week 50 or 51 that we have met together like this. I've almost lost count. But whatever it is, I know that we are inching closer to meeting back together in person. Dee Pipes, who is here this morning, will tell us a little bit more about that near the end of our service. So I told you that Dee is here. Let me let you know who else is here. Brian is with us. We have Andrea, who will sing. We have Chelsea, we have Cora, and King, as always, is up in the sound booth. I was thinking about King today. I've been here for 95% of these online services. King has been here for 100%. What a gift he brings to this congregation and to me specifically. So I'm grateful for him. Okay, grab some communion supplies. We'll be sharing in the Lord's Supper a little bit later. Your bread, your wine, your juice, your water, whatever you're using is just fine. We'll do that soon after my sermon today. Okay, as always, we light a candle to remind us that Christ is indeed among us, for the light that he gives is right here. So Cora's going to come and light that candle for us, and then we'll read our psalm for today. I think you can see us all. We're going to read Psalm 19 together. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth, and their words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. It bursts forth like a radiant bridegroom after his wedding. It rejoices like a great athlete eager to run the race. The sun rises at one end of the heavens and follows its course to the other end. Nothing can hide from its heat.
The instructions of the Lord are perfect,
reviving the soul.
The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy,
making wise the simple.
The commandments of the Lord are right,
bringing joy to the heart.
The commandments of the Lord are clear,
giving insight for the living.
Reverence for the Lord is pure,
lasting forever.
The laws of the Lord are true,
each one is fair.
They are more desirable than gold,
even the finest gold.
They are sweeter than honey,
even honey dripping from the comb.
They are a warning to your servant, a great reward for those who obey him. How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from them, the hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free from guilt and innocent of great sin. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Good morning, church. Good to be with you again. We're going to begin with This Is My Father's World.
This is my father's world.
music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, His hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world, the birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear Him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus, who died, shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one. And now the song version of our psalm this morning. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. More to be sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And in keeping them there is great reward, there is great reward. And in keeping them there is great reward. Thank you. Have a blessed day.
Thanks, Andrea. I appreciate that. Okay, our young friends, have you found Jesus yet? Behind me, he is located somewhere in this screen. Hopefully you have seen him, you can locate him. We do this every week, which is quickly becoming maybe my favorite part of Lent. Finding Jesus, where is Jesus located? We're always looking for where Jesus is located. So, hope that you have found him, and if not, I will point him out at the end of our service today. Well, let's pray together, and I'll continue. May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Today's Lenten sermon has something for everyone. For those of you who would rather be in the mountains of New Mexico right about now or at a beach in Florida, there's something for you. For those of you who would prefer to be here in the church building, familiar and warm with a Bible class to follow, there's something for you. For those of you who just rolled out of bed and opened up Facebook, we're so glad that you're here. There's something for you too. There's something for everyone in our psalm today. That is the good news. The other news, which I think is also good, is that the psalm is discomforting. It needles you a little bit, like you unexpectedly backed into a prickly pear cactus while your mind was drifting, a nice poke in the calf muscle to wake you back up. Psalm 19, our reading for this, the third Sunday in Lent, is an uber popular one in the lectionary, one of the most popular, in fact. It shows up at least 6 times, which is more than the famous Psalm 1 or Psalm 23 or Psalm 100, each of which I am quite confident that Andrea or Jesse or Kay could quote verbatim. Some of you could quote Psalm 19 as well, or at least the prayer that I prayed at the beginning. May the words of my and the meditation of my be pleasing to you, O Lord, my, and you got it. The sweeping quality of this psalm, along with its flexibility, make it one that we come back to time and time again, lectionary or not. The first 6 verses are for the "This is my Father's world" crowd. If you find joy in observing the night stars, few as there might be in Houston, or if you have no problem hugging a tree, then this section is for you. The poem explodes from the very beginning. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. The psalmist writes, God's glory is on tour in the skies. God's craft is on exhibit across the horizon. What that glory and craft tour does is this: witness to God. The ancient world is pointing us to its everlasting creator. It does so with moving homilies and teachings. Day after day, the heavens speak. Night after night, the skies make God known. The heavens and the skies take on a personality all their own, and they speak. But they don't speak like our Pixar creature friends do, where fish named Dory and rats named Remy and snowmen named Olaf chit-chat on end. These heavens preach and teach without words. They don't have vocal cords. They don't have a written text. But they do have a message articulated through a silent but eloquent language. Their voice is never heard, yet it goes out throughout the earth and their words to the ends of the world, says verse 4. The wordless paradox vaults across the globe like an athlete running a race, like a giddy bridegroom just pronounced married. And the bright morning sun, that highly sought after presenter, gets the prime spot on the daily lecture series. Praise the Lord, the blazing star silently belts out each day. Let the earth hear his voice. It's not just this psalm doing such things. Scripture elsewhere watches as mountains burst into song and trees clap their hands. Jesus, too, cherished the sights and sounds of nature, withdrawing often into it. Other than perhaps fig trees, he spoke affectionately of the planet's voice, the sparrows that God feeds, and the flowers of the field here today and gone tomorrow. He even said that rocks, plain old rocks, underneath your feet, cry out in praise to God. It's something that my traveling heroes, Lincoln and Deborah Roberts and Bobby Huebner and Beverly Thetford, all know very well, that there is a grandeur found around the earth. That same earth returns the praise and glory to God. It's something Rosalinda Montez beheld just a few weeks ago when she woke up early, 2 a.m. early, to step outside her second floor apartment and listen to the noiseless snow confetti the ground. It's all quite wonderful and quite mysterious, if you think about it. Nature, all heights and depths, all redwoods and roses, all mites and monkeys and mammoths, they have been singing, "To God be the glory, great things he has done," long before Fanny Crosby ever sat down with her pen and paper. Creation's congregational performance is the stuff of a music director's dream. This universal choir worships. Hearing that song, appropriate responses are invoked within us toward nature and how we treat non-human creation, yes, but more so, this psalm summons within us humbleness, reverence, and awe. How small we are. Out here in the Lenten wilderness, where we drop any and all self-dependence pretenses, what better way to remember that our humanity, a single breath, a wisp of wind here today and gone tomorrow, is meant to witness alongside the sun, moon, and stars to the marvelous glory of God. If listening to the birds their carols raise, the morning lights, the lily white, declare their maker's praise is nice and all, but you'd prefer to get your teaching from the Bible instead of a blue jay, then maybe your something comes from verse 7 to 11. The hymn Andrea sang earlier, also titled Psalm 19, as she told us, comes directly from these verses, skipping over the first six. I don't know why the songwriter went directly to verse 7, but as someone raised in a faith tradition that extolled the virtues of solo scriptura by scripture alone, I respect that. I honor that. It feels like home to me. Makes me also think of my ancestors, my grandmother with her worn-out Bible, reading it before dawn at the kitchen table. My grandfather, who opened each day with a devotional from an Our Daily Bread magazine. They, and many of you, inspire me to want to read, to study, to learn, to know God as I too am known. For the psalmist, his scriptures come from the Torah. The Torah can mean the general teachings found in the Hebrew Bible, but more specifically, the Torah refers to the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The Torah, with its lists and laws, is less about checkmarking lists and laws than it is about living in fruitful covenant with the God who set them free from slavery in Egypt. The Torah, in instruction, forms the people of Israel as individuals, as a community, into the ways and means of God. The Torah is lived out in faith. Jesus, a Jewish man who obeyed the Torah, became for us Christians the fulfillment of the Torah, the physical embodiment of the words of God. When the psalmist lauds the benefits of the Torah, the proclamation is moving. Reading the Torah, opening the Bible, and not just eyeballing the words on the page, but heeding the manner in which to live with God. That is what is driving the writer. I want God more than I want anything else. How do I do that? How do I get there? Where does that happen? When can I go and meet with God? What comes forth is a call and response, what Chelsea and Cora just read aloud. God's perfect law revives the soul. God's stable rule guides the simple. God's just demands delight the heart. God's clear commands sharpen vision. God's faultless decrees stand forever. God's righteous judgments keep their truth. The Torah and the God seen because of the Torah is better than all the wealth a person could ever have, is sweeter than the sweetest foods that could ever allure your taste buds. Life, wisdom, joy, restoration, presence of God, don't you want all that? The psalmist asks. The Torah becomes a matter of desirability. What we have before us in this psalm is a song of the heavens and a hymn of the Torah. The two, the sky and the scriptures, are not singing a jumbled mix of separate songs, nor are they singing out of step with each other, a row, row, row your boat sung in rounds. It's the same psalm, the same praise, the same anthem sung at the same time. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Humankind, by grace and by creation, gets to take their place on the stadium risers with the universal choir and join in the worship. In Lent, however, this swirling, barren wilderness, where all we can carry with us is a prayer, I lift up my soul, and a posture, one bent on following Jesus, we must also address the elephant in the room or the coyote in the desert and get to verse 12. But who can discern their own faults? Forgive my hidden errors. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Do not let them control me. After gushing about nature and scripture, The psalmist gets to the essence of the matter. How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these secreted failings, the ones I keep quiet and the ones that I am not aware of. It mirrors the well-known prayer, which says, "Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone." It takes a lot of bravery to honestly pray something like that, to genuinely confront how we have participated in the breaking of God's desire for shalom, for God's wholeness in this world. In the context of Psalm 19, what might these hidden faults be, sins done or left undone? In regards to creation and our place in it, could it be that we treat God's glory-declaring handiwork as nothing more than a subordinate? When it comes to the earth, do we harm it more than heal it? Take more than give? Extract more than retract? Curse more than bless? Have we failed to hear the heavens preached, closing ourselves off to creation's worship? In regards to Torah, no matter how sweet on the tongue God's word may be, still, we have not loved God with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have disregarded wisdom as folly and embraced folly as wisdom. We have used the Bible to cover up or justify ungodly behaviors, ours and others. We have twisted Jesus's words so it better fits our preferences. We have sinned. In Lent, we pray, "God, forgive me of my careless failures, my hidden sin, those I conceal from you and from others and from myself. Strip away my blindness and make me aware. Let me see how you see." This something for everyone psalm that leads us in the end to confession won't let us go without seeing that both the Son and the Torah make life possible, make healing imaginable, make wholeness conceivable. Life is what God desires. If you prefer one over the other, the skies or the scriptures, then this week, I want to invite you to choose the other. Go sit outside under a tree and tune your ears. Or crack open that Bible of yours that you have not touched in a while and pay attention longer than you think you have time for. Maybe do both simultaneously. Can you meet the God who is already there? Can you allow your heart to join in the everlasting song? Can you believe that God's incarnate word revives the soul? If so, or if not, may the words of your mouth and meditation of your heart be pleasing to the Lord, your rock and your redeemer. And together, sisters and brothers, let us say your type, amen. Let that amen and let these words carry you directly to the table where Christ is seen there too, the bread of the earth, the fruit of the vine. These are things that we share, that we consume, not only with each other, but also in the presence of God. So I want to invite you to a few moments to eat and drink together. Let's do that now.
Good morning. For those who came to us online during the pandemic without a long history of sitting in our auditorium and don't know me, I'm Dee Pipes. I'm one of the shepherds here at Southwest Central, and I'm here to talk about giving and where we are on the budget. For the first time in this budget year, our giving isn't meeting our budgeted needs. Remember, the budget year starts October 1 and goes through September 30th. Let me explain about the giving reports that appear in the newsletter. There are regular and designated gifts. We always have very generous amounts shown in the special contribution or the designated gifts. That's money you give for BIM or a special cause, a specific use, like Super Bowl of Caring. That money only goes to that cause. We can't use it for the greatest need. We can't move it anywhere else. So far this year, you have given $38,376 to designated gifts. We are a generous congregation. I'm talking about the regular giving, giving for us to pay the light bill, fund the work we do here. We know that weather impaired everyone in many ways for the week of Valentine's Day. Many of you are still dealing, like we are here, with damage from frozen pipes and other problems. But for the budget, the collection for the last 3 weeks has been below the budgeted amount for a week of $5,703. Overall, when we came into that 3 weeks ago, we were a little ahead. But as of now, we are below the overall budget in regular giving. If you got behind because of the freeze or other things have come up, now is a great time to catch up. You can give your contribution as you always do. You can mail a check to the church. You can give it online. You can bring a check or cash by the church building, or you can call the office to say you want to give. How do you do that? We as a congregation, we as Christians, return a portion of the blessings that God has given us for the work of sharing His love and His salvation with those we meet and know and love. Thank you. While I'm here, I'm going to do other family matters. We hope, as Steve says, to begin meeting in some limited way in person in the auditorium. The shepherds are going to be talking about that today. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your support while we were meeting other ways. Let me remind people who are online only, we are going to add having people in person, or for those of you who think in person is the primary way, we will add having online presence when we are meeting in the building. The other family notice, the other family matter is Sunny Glen, the children's home down near Harlingen, will be sending their truck to pick up our gifts either the 9th or the 10th. We have a new driver on the bus, and so it's a little, on the truck, it's a little bit confusing. Let's plan to have your contributions for Sunny Glen here at the church building by Tuesday morning. They are asking for cleaning supplies, floor cleaners, all-purpose liquid cleaners, fabric softener, and paper towels. If you have these items, be sure to get them here by Tuesday morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Dee. And thanks to those of you who continue to show up week after week right here on Facebook Live. I'm grateful. Okay, our young friends and even our older friends, did you find the hidden Jesus? Do you know where he is behind me? I'm going to move out of the camera screen so Chelsea could also point very well. I know that she could, but Cora this time is going to show you where the hidden Jesus is located. There he is, right behind the bread. Thanks, Cora. As we've done every single week during Lent, I'm going to send you out with this benediction, with this blessing from Numbers. This is Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Carry that same peace and purpose with you this week, my friends. We'll see you next Sunday.